The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society, celebrating more than a half century of promoting awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org. This podcast is brought to you through the generous financial support of the Tongyang Group. In the areas of financial services and manufacturing, the companies of the Tongyang Group harness the passion and creativity of 12,000 employees worldwide to better serve their clients. The Tongyang Group, a global partner for Korean business. On December 9, 2010, the Korea Society and the World Affairs Council of Atlanta presented a panel on doing business with Korea at the Commerce Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Ambassador Thomas Hubbard, chairman of the Korea Society, moderated the panel, which included Ambassador Han Duck-soo, ambassador of the Republic of Korea to the United States, Mark Sobolewski, vice president of corporate strategy for UPS, Song Jung, a partner and the chair of the intellectual property and technology practice at McKenna Long & Aldridge, and John Anderson, director of Kia Motors America's office in Washington, D.C. The program was part of the Korea Society's Korea Days Regional Outreach Program in Atlanta, Georgia.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have just an hour left in our session, so we'd like to begin our panel discussion now. I was introduced earlier. I'm Tom Hubbard. I'm chairman of the Korea Society, former ambassador to Korea. And we have today an excellent panel, I believe, to talk in some detail about doing business in Korea. Several people have commented that this is a very exciting time to be talking about Korea. Certainly, the recent provocations by North Korea on the negative side and the recent agreement on the terms for the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement on the positive side have created, in a way, a very new environment for relations between the United States and Korea and created some issues to work on. But meanwhile, business goes on. Korea, I think, is our seventh largest export market in the world. Our Ambassador Han has these numbers better than I have. I think our fifth largest market for agricultural products, a very big market for our service industries, and this free trade agreement will help us very much in all of those areas. Just a word about, you know, the sense of confrontation on the Korean Peninsula. I was in Korea last week, and I can assure you that the Korean Peninsula looks a lot better from Seoul than it often looks on your hometown journal, CNN. Indeed, this is a very serious issue. I think we're going to have a long time tension, but I don't foresee war, and I don't think there's any reason for Americans to be any less eager to do business now in South Korea than ever before. Our alliance and our deterrence stand. So with these very brief remarks, let me bring up our panelists, and I will bring them up, all of them up, I guess, now, but in order of their presentation. We have Mark Sobolewski of your other big, one of your other big hometown organizations, UPS, Mark. We have Song Jung of McKenna Long and Aldridge, which I understand has a big office here in Atlanta, and Song is one of the leading experts on patents and international property protections in Korea. And we have John Anderson, who represents what may be one of the biggest foreign investment in Georgia, one of the biggest anyway, Kia Motor Company. So would you all come up? And Mark, why don't you start here? And after they speak, I'm going to invite Ambassador Han to make a few wrap-up remarks and kind of pull it all together in terms of doing business in Korea. So please, Mark, would you start off?
Thank you, Ambassador and Ambassador Han. It's a pleasure to be here and represent UPS. Yeah, Korea has always been an important market for UPS, so it's a pleasure to talk about it. I've been involved in our Korean business probably on and off for 20 years. I had the pleasure of living in Singapore as the engineering manager of UPS, and I'll talk a little bit about our history, how our business has grown. I'll talk a little bit about the history of UPS in Korea, and more importantly, I think, the latest positive event that we've just had, which is the free trade agreement. We started business in Korea in 1988. And much like we went into the international business about that time, we used a third party, or what we referred to as an agent. And in 1996, which was the time I was in Asia, we entered into a joint venture with a company called Korea Express. We went through, and I know there's many lawyers in the room, what I would refer to as an ugly divorce with a partner. It was a challenging business time for us then, because we had very little Korean-speaking UPSers, and we had to basically start our business from scratch. And train a new company how to operate and our policies and procedures. In 2008, we became a wholly owned business in Korea. We've been flying airplanes in Korea since 1990. We've grown to the largest cargo company in Korea. We have 5 flights a day that fly in and out of Seoul. That's more than anyone. So it's been a big, important part of our global network, our transportation network within the U.S., connecting to China, connecting to Asia, and connecting to Europe. We were ecstatic and extremely excited about the news of the free trade agreement. Free trade is something that's been extremely important to UPS. We're a big supporter behind the scenes of the move towards free trade in Korea, as well as other agreements around the world. And we see the free trade agreement being a windfall for our customers. It creates huge opportunities to enter a market that some of them don't exist today. I'm talking about small and medium customers. And the publicity just around it, we already started getting phone calls from segments that we weren't really involved in over the years. So the agreement itself gives us some specifics, so much more than just a free trade agreement. It actually gives our industry some specifics, such as custom clearance rights and abilities that improve transparency and allow goods to move in and out quicker. It allows us as an industry to be recognized as an industry and not be under the post office. That was extremely important. And it forces the post office to be transparent in their business dealings and be fair and open. So there were a lot of good things for our industry and for our customers. I think the thing that excites us the most about this free trade agreement is what it does for jobs. President Obama said that the free trade agreement will create 70,000 jobs. At UPS, we actually take it even down, we're extremely down to the package. And we figured out a long time ago that for every 22 packages we pick up, we create one American job, a package that imports or exports from the U.S. So we see this as a huge opportunity. We're looking forward to enabling global commerce, and it's a key market for UPS. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Song?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much. I'm a partner at McKenna Long & Aldrich. I'm an IP partner. I'm a patent attorney. I used to be an engineer, and now I'm a lawyer. I used to be a Korean. Now I'm an American. But my younger brother calls me Bob because I go to Korea so much, now I'm back on the boat. But what I love about what's been happening is that for the last 20 years, I've been representing a lot of Korean companies, and I've been going back to Korea, relearning the heritage, the language, but also relearning what it means to be a Korean company doing business in the U.S. and also representing U.S. companies going into Korea. One of the most important things that have happened over the last 10, 20 years is that Korea has come up tremendously and advanced in the protection of IP. And IP is such an important underlying issue, I believe, in any free trade agreement for that reason, for that matter, any business. And it's no longer Korea having to catch up to the United States, or for that matter, to any other country. Korea is right there now with the United States, working together side by side, hand in hand with the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the USTR, and we have grown and advanced the protection of IP. So what's going to be very interesting, I know there's a service provision where the legal market, the law firms will go into Korea. I think there's a 5-year gradual process. But a lot of Koreans have learned how to be litigious because of the United States, you know? And Koreans know how to fight, okay? And I've represented both sides. And I think what's going to be very interesting is how do we, okay, now that we have FTA, what now? How will this affect, coming down to the business level, how are we going to do business? And from my vantage point, I think I've done a lot of negotiations on behalf of Korean companies, on behalf of U.S. companies, with the Korean companies. I think the Koreans and the Americans have a very good understanding, if you will. I mean, there's Asian cultural issues and other cultural issues, but I think the personalities of the companies and the Koreans make it so much better for Americans and Koreans to cooperate and actually do a deal. And I've seen so many deals that will happen. And, you know, a lot of times, just like the FTA, I've seen so many deals where everybody storms out of the room. Very emotional people. A couple of people have a smoke, come back up, and then, we'll go to dinner and have some soju, and we're done. And so I am really looking forward to this. I think it will increase our two countries, and it will promote business, and as Ambassador Han says, not only between the United States and Korea, but internationally. And the two countries will help promote international business. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Song. John?
I'm John Anderson from the KIA Washington office, and I want to talk a little bit about our experience working with Koreans and the Korean culture and basically tell you a little bit about what KIA is all about. The word KIA means to arise or come out of Asia, and we're a company that's been around since 1944. We have roots first in manufacturing. The first vehicle that we made had two wheels. It was a bicycle, and that came around in 1951. And about 10 years later, we produced another two-wheeler, but we put an engine on it, made it into a motorcycle. And then the following year, we produced our first truck in 1962, and that truck had three wheels. It was more or less like a golf cart with a little box on the back of it. But since then, KIA and the Koreans have done so well, and they've gone so fast, and now KIA is the fastest growing automobile company in the world. But what you probably heard about for us is on the next slide, and it's our project in Georgia, the KIA Motors manufacturing plant, which was announced in March of 2006 and is up in production as of last November. It's a huge operation, $1 billion. We've employed 2,000 people directly, and we just announced last month that we're going to add another 1,000 people to the payroll there. So if you know somebody that's looking for a job, there is an online process where you just go to KIA Motors Manufacturing and go online, and you can apply for a job there. Billion-dollar operation, when we reach full capacity, which we have not yet, it'll be a 300,000 vehicle operation, two shifts. The plant is there on the bottom, and up top you can see the pre-construction area. And I think if you just go to the next button, you'll see where it all starts. And it starts with the steel coils. The steel coils are approximately 44,000 pounds, and they're bigger than your tables here. And if you were to roll them out, they'd be a mile long. And those steel coils go into the stamping area where they're stamped by a big press, and then they go from there into the welding area. In the welding area, you don't see very many people because it's almost all done by robots. So there may be 60 people in the welding area and 250 robots in that area. And the reason for that is that the robots do the dirty, dangerous work a lot better than any human can do. They can weld the shell of a vehicle in about 90 minutes, where it would take humans over 24 hours to do it. From there, the shell of the vehicle goes into the paint area, and that's where it spends most of its time. It spends about 8 hours in the paint area between the dipping and the painting and the drying of the vehicle. And then from there, it goes into assembly, where most of the 2,000 employees would work, and it would get all the different modules that come from the module factory, as well as the transmission factory. And about 23 hours after the start of that coil that I mentioned at the beginning, you've got a complete vehicle that fires up, runs off the line, goes to the test track area. And every vehicle goes to the test track to get tried out. And then from there, it goes to be processed in our process area and on to a train track to be sold at a dealership someplace. We're very proud of the facility. We would hope that if you have a chance to come down sometime, we'd love to host you. And the last thing I would say about this slide is that in the back there is the state-owned and run training center, and it all begins with some really good training. We start off with a lot of good employees through our employee process, but they're also very well-trained and very well-motivated. And then the next slide just shows at top the area that I was talking about with the robotics, the weld area. The slide on the left bottom is the paint area where the cars go in, and there's a lot of automation there. We can paint up to 10 different cars in any order, any paint order. It doesn't matter what color people want. We can just bring it in there and give them the paint in that order. And finally, you see somebody putting one of the teammates putting the final touch on the car. And the next slide shows the final product. So again, 23 hours after the steel coil, it comes out looking like that, and 8 hours of that is in the paint shop. The Koreans have, I think, taken this manufacturing facility to a new state, and it's probably the state of the art anywhere in the world. Very proud of it, and we're proud of the jobs that we're creating. In addition to the 3,000 direct jobs, there's probably another 10,000 indirect jobs in the area that kind of support the plant. And then when you think about all the secondary economic ripple effect with new housing, new restaurants, it's a real shot in the arm for the Georgia economy. So that's our story as it relates to both Korea and Koreans doing business here in the United States.
John, just you didn't mention your sister company, Hyundai, but I understand you're also making, in addition to the Sorento, a Hyundai vehicle
We just added a second product to the plant. That's the Hyundai Santa Fe, and we do have plans that we've not announced yet for a future product that will come in there at some point.
Ambassador, would you like to say a few words?
Well, before I wrap up the wonderful discussions, I'd like to recognize two real heroes for Korea's today's developments. The heroes who fought 60 years ago on the lands they didn't know for the people they had never met. Mr. Robert McCubbins, President of the General Raymond G. Davis Chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association, and Mr. James Conway, the Secretary and Treasurer of the General Raymond G. Davis Chapter. I don't know. Oh, they rose up. The reason why I recognize them before I wrap up the sessions is that this year is the 60th anniversary of the breaking out of Korean War. And thanks to their sacrifice and thanks to their hardship they experienced on the Korean Peninsula, Korea today is possible with 15th largest economy in the world, from just under less than $100 per capita GDP when they fought for Korea on the Korean Peninsula. Now, Korea is the seventh largest trading nation of the United States and second largest service economy in Asia, and we are the fifth largest importer of American agricultural products. So 50 million Korean people and our Korean government always thank for the sacrifice they actually experienced on the Korean Peninsula. Thank you again. Thank you. I'd like to say three things. First, the overall geopolitical situations can always have some relations with the economy, the business, and employment, not only on in the United States, but also in Korea. But with the sacrifice, you know, the two heroes actually made, now Korea is one of the strongest nation militarily, and we had a strongest military alliance relationship with the United States. So whatever provocations North Korea may be doing, I firmly believe that they will never go into the all-out war, and they may never provoke in a way that really, really damages the Korean people. We have a strong alliance, and South Korea is under the extended nuclear umbrella of the United States, which will work as a real constraint on the bad behavior of North Korea. Diplomatically, we are working very closely with the United States, so we are not limiting our efforts to the Korean Peninsula only. We are going to Northeast Asia, Asia, and globally with hands in hands with the United States. We are fighting for anti-terrorism in Afghanistan now and also in Iraq, and we are working together with the United States and Europe for anti-piracy in Somalia, and we are participating and sending our troops to Haiti for the relief efforts with the United States. And we are doing all that kind of, you know, efforts which contributes for the liberty and freedom of the global communities and global citizens. That's what really keeps Korea now. So the businesses are always guaranteed from any kind of provocative behaviors. I would like to say that they can be maintained and they can be managed with a very, very strong alliance with our United States, strong alliance partner, and also our friends and partners all throughout the world. On businesses, I think there will be a real fundamental shift of the basic operations of economic relations between the United States and Korea. UPS said that they are looking forward to the effectuation of Korea-U.S. free trade agreements. In the Korea-U.S. free trade agreements, which I believe will pass as soon as possible, possibly within the early next year, will, as a benchmark, set 4 hours for customs clearing services for the jobs that UPS is doing. So it'll be much, much quicker, and they will serve the Korean consumers and businesses. And we have a lot of other provisions which will increase the efficiency and transparency and competition in Korea. We are opening our doors to foreign investors and foreign imports, so that only by so doing, we believe that we can enhance our overall competitive strength. Although in the short run, it may cause some pains for our industry, that's the pains that are worth enduring for the medium and long-term growth for our economy. On automobiles, which was the last, ingredients which held up our agreements, we finished our negotiations last Friday, and at last, there's a strong support from Ford, strong support from United Auto Workers, and strong support from Food and Commercial Workers Union, where this Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement is the first agreement which got the explicit support from the labor union. They actually showed tacit agreements by being silent, but this time they actively and positively expressed the statement of support for these agreements. Mr. Anderson said that they are employing directly and indirectly about 10,000 people. But as an advocate of these agreements, I was more detailed on the statistic data. For Hyundai and Kia, they directly and indirectly employ 10,000 people at their assembly plants, and more than 30 parts and component suppliers invested by Korean parts suppliers. In addition to that, there's a finance company which are actually dealing with loans that are necessary for selling cars, which are 100% invested by those two companies. And also, they have all kind of dealers which are actually working and employing people, workers for selling their cars. So directly and indirectly, they are employing 78,000 United States workers in this great America. And these two companies, including Kia, are buying $900 million worth of parts and components from Michigan area, from the parts suppliers in Michigan areas. And Hyundai, one of their brother company here in the United States, has a research labs in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they are doing the designs and they are doing the researches here. So they actually put their fundamental and best efforts to generate jobs and to make their products competitive by operating in the United States. With these free trade agreements, which got the strong support from all three automakers and United Auto Workers Union, I think that these agreements will be very quickly passed U.S. Congress and also at our National Assembly, because we know that this agreement is an agreement about jobs, about growth, but at the same time, it's about our strong alliance relationship between the United States and Korea. We have a very strong $1 trillion market economy, which is growing more than 5% annually, and our per capita GDP is now about $20,000 annually, and it will grow in the future. And with these agreements, we believe that Korea will take another step for more transparent and more efficient and more internationally recognized economy in the world. So we are thrilled by the finishing of our negotiations of our free trade agreements. They got a strong support from the industries here and industries in Korea, and by many members of National Assembly in Korea and the members of Congress. So I hope that all of you who are present here will have greater interest in businesses between United States and Korea. And also, at the same time, I hope that you will be more active with your members of Congress, for your members of House of Representatives, and for your senators, for them to take action as quickly as possible on this very important agreement. With your support, I think the overall level of economic cooperation between the United States and Korea will totally change and will totally take another shape, which actually were greatly expected and greatly anticipated by the heroes who sacrificed their lives on Korean Peninsula, which totaled 36,000 young American soldiers whose precious life actually made Korea. For that, Korean people and Korean government will forever thanks for their sacrifice. Again, I'd like to take this opportunity that we are a good allies and we will do the exemplary works of alliance relationship globally in the future challenges ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ambassador. We have some time for questions, don't we? We'd now would welcome questions, comments directed at Ambassador Han or any of our panelists. Any questions, comments?
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Is this like the Oprah show where we get a Kia car?
You know, I was going to crack the joke about, you know, no matter what happens, the lawyers make money, and I think Sloan's presentation makes that clear, but I was a little too polite to do
thank
that.
Thank you.
First, but,
the reason I have a question.
Yes.
I asked you a question earlier to Kia representative that the BMW has a facility, the plant in South Carolina, and Mercedes producing Mercedes-Benz out of Alabama. Actually, one of our two owned ports in South Georgia, the Brunswick, we export so many BMWs and Mercedes-Benz, German brand, to other countries. Does Kia has any plan, or here and there has a plan to export to South America or even African countries like they do?
I think right now about 10% of our domestic production is going outside of the United States, but it's going to mainly to Canada. And we are looking at the South American market as a possibility for export. And we're looking at free trade agreements as being a very positive thing. There's some other agreements that when they come into place will be very favorable for us for export. And just the power of the free trade agreement, I was in Chile 2 weeks ago, and Chile and Korea have a free trade agreement. And when I was driving down the road, you see a lot of different cars, including a lot of the Kias and the Hyundais. So I think there is a good opportunity for us to look at other markets as free trade agreements develop.
Good news.
And we'll use your port.
That was my Kia car.
I can add to that as having just been in Korea for a few days. Almost every meal I was served Chilean wines. That's the power of a free trade agreement. We hope to see more American wines out there soon.
Now the tariff on wines is 15%. So that's 15%.
That 15% tariff on American wine will go away at the time when this agreement is put into effect. Not gradual phasing out. It's going away right away. So California wine can catch up. I don't know whether... Are there good Georgian wine, too?
And you all know who will fall behind. That's France. And there was a hand back in the back of the room. Yes, sir.
Preeminent brokers...
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming here. I have a question, and thank you for also for inviting me. I have a question. I have been involved buying somewhat of an adventurous person, buying Korean cars since way back, maybe 20 years ago, since the days of the XL. I've seen the evolution, the quality improvements on the products. My question is, when are we going to be getting a convertible?
Ha 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 I thought you were going to ask about a hybrid or a plug-in. But
I can talk about hybrids, plug-ins. I don't know when we're going to see a convertible.
Yes, Ms. Kathy.
I wonder if some of our panelists who I know have had a lot of experience not only in Korea but also doing business in some Asian countries, I wonder if you could kind of speak to some of the relative either ease or difficulties of doing business in Korea versus other Asian countries.
Might be a good one for you, Mark.
Yeah, so an ease of business, Korea, like every culture, it's unique. And certainly, you know, you see some unique things in Korea. Negotiating skills are one that stands to mind. Very, very challenging negotiations. The cultural thing of bonding at night is also core to a bunch of countries in Asia that we see. But I think it's a good place to do business. You know, we've been there for a long time. It's very open to business. But, you know, the degree of challenges are mostly related to the style and the approach and the tough negotiations that we all go through when we're going through that.
So maybe I can compliment your arguments from the point of, you know, some kind of economic institutions and possibly the behavior of the policymakers, which may subject to drastic change with these new agreements. I'm always saying that this is not an agreement just related with tariff or just a lowering of, you know, some barriers and so on. This is a totally very comprehensive, legally binding reform package for Korea. As we did in late 90s, we implemented with a great pains the reform package at that time was actually prescribed by International Monetary Fund. There's a huge, you know, change in financial sector, in private enterprises, investment behavior, and the flexibility in the labor market and efficiency in government. But with those 10 years of very painful years of implementing that prescription, we found during the latest financial, you know, recession during the last 2 years, we knew that they worked for us. We had a much, much, you know, little degree of pains when we weather these financial recessions. Korea is the only country who didn't register negative growth in 2008 among OECD members. We barely registered 0.2% growth. All the other countries are actually -3, -2, and so on, including United States. This year, it'll be about 5. Last year, it was more than, I think, 4%. This year, it'll be around 5%. So, if you look at this free trade agreements, which is 1,000 pages, so I don't know whether you really have time to read. But all the provisions in that agreements are addressing the problems that have been raised by U.S. businesses in all areas, including intellectual property right protections, automobile industries, financial sector, pharmaceuticals, high-tech industries, agricultural sector, manufacturing sector, and so on. For example, in the financial sector, in these agreements, we are changing the whole regulatory regime from positive list into negative list system. So if it is not stipulated, everything is free. That will really embolden the foreign investors. And in pharmaceuticals, stakeholders now can participate in the policymaking process, and they can challenge the decisions made by Korean people. And in automobile, Korean policymakers, in automobiles, there's a standing automotive working group which will monitor all the Korean policies related with trade and productions and whatnot of the automobile industry. And at the top, we have a legal committee on monitoring and implementing the Korean free trade agreements. Every business people of the United States can file their complaints there, and they have the dispute settlement processes, and they have all the rights as well as obligations, of course, in filing the problems with that implementations committee. And I think that more than 99% of the complaints can be resolved through the discussions through that kind of monitoring committees. So we are totally changing our economic institutions, which will become much more transparent and, you know, business friendly and foreign business friendly by implementing this agreement. So I believe that with the implementation of these agreements, Korean economic institutions will jump again from where we are with the implementation of IMF prescribed reform package in late 90s.
My yes, association with Korea goes back to the 1950s when I was a young officer of the UN, and I served under Syngman Rhee and a lot of the first Korean politicians, and I can attest that Korea is the best friend of the U.S. in the world, and that their products are among the best. My dissertation dealt with the economic development of Korea. The subtitle was The Economic Miracle. I had predicted in 1960 when it was published that Korea would be what it is today, because I knew of the people and of the hard work, and it's the best friends to have. I'm committed that my next car would be a Kia car. There's no doubt about it. It's the best. And I just wanted to ask the ambassador and also the representative of the UPS, who it's you know, our love affair here in Atlanta. Can we do something more about the exchanges between faculty and students and universities? Because I used to know very well Dr. Helen Kim, the founder of Ewha University, and I know of Seoul National and many of the universities. We don't have as much exchanges as we should. And, of course, Georgia State takes the leadership in this, and I hope we'll see more of that. And whatever the embassy can do on your side, we will be most grateful to you, sir.
Thank you very much for your expectations and anticipations in 1960s. I definitely know that you were the minority at that time. Well, on the exchange of students, there are two very peculiar phenomena recently. In Korea, universities never did any you know, advocacy or advertisements, campaigns. Now they begin to do that. All the popular soap operas, always the sponsors are at least one university is there. That means they are subject to some change and they are subject to some competition. And they are going abroad now to find some collaborative efforts with universities of other countries, especially of the United States. So there are a lot of joint programs and exchange of professors, and there are a lot of exchange of students. Maybe in early 1960s, nobody had thought of Korean students when they study at the university to come to the United States for 1 year or 2 year for just, you know, having to get associated with American friends and learn English and so on. Now, almost not a single student just stay within Korea. They are coming into the United States through all kind of collaborations and cooperative arrangements among universities of Korea and the United States. They came here, they come here and study English and associate with the friends and come back. So that kind of phenomenon, which definitely comes with the overall internationalization efforts, which will be greatly enforced with the implementation of these agreements. That kind of exchange of students, exchange of professors, and collaborations among universities will really intensify. Already, that kind of phenomenon is happening already. And thank you for your predictions in early 1960s.
Mark, did you want to add anything?
Well, I want to thank you, too, because you've helped stimulate a lot of growth. But UPS does a lot with universities. We've got programs with interns very often with Georgia State University, Georgia Tech, host foreign universities to come through our corporate office, explain to them what logistics and supply chain is. And we'd be open to do that with yourself and anyone you might be interested in doing that with.
I might just add quickly from my own experience, I know that in the United States, Koreans are third only to China and India in the number of university students in the United States. If you look across the board, including secondary school, et cetera, Korea is often number one in the number of students in the United States. So that I think a real issue is trying to go the other way to get Americans to go out and learn more about Korea. And I think some of these programs that they're setting up, inviting American universities in, will create more opportunities to get Americans out there, if nothing else, for a junior year or something, and that'll greatly help the relationship. Yes, ma'am.
I'm the owner of a Kia Sorento, and I'm a very proud owner. I'm like a one-person PR machine for the Sorento. But I have almost a question for Mr. Anderson. I was astonished to read that the chairman of Kia was asked to resign, or perhaps he resigned on his own, because there's already been a recall on a very minor matter, something to do with lighting and the interior of the car. And this struck me as an astonishing cultural difference between Korea and the United States. And I'm just curious to know your reaction to that. What does that mean for the difference in the two business cultures?
Well, I think it does point out the difference between the different cultures. And one of the things I learned in my time working for Kia and Koreans is that there is a lot of ownership. When there's an issue, somebody stands up and says, we have to fix this. And just like every car company and every manufacturing process, you're going to have situations where there are going to be recalls. It's not whether you're going to have a problem with your vehicle or your device. It's how do you manage it and how do you fix it. And the Koreans step up and they fix it quickly. The first time I saw Kia go through a recall, it was a very small recall, and they jumped right on it and got it fixed in a matter of about 30 hours. I worked for General Motors for a number of years, and I know that their processes takes longer to do that. So I think it's just a matter of style, and when they find an issue, somebody takes responsibility for it.
Was there another question back in the back? Or
yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ambassador, for coming to Georgia. And I've been to several of these FTA panels, actually. And my name is BJ Pack, and actually I had the privilege of being elected to represent the citizens of Lilburn in District 102. And as I went campaigning during these tough economic times, one of the issues that came up, the concerns of citizens, was that part of NAFTA, the result of NAFTA, a lot of jobs got shifted overseas. And so there's some resistance to new free trade agreements and things like that. And I've heard just glowing things about the free trade agreement between Korea and USA. Matter of fact, as a lawyer, I've been waiting for this for a very, very long time. But what resistance or what groups are opposing the ratification of this treaty? And what, if anything, have you heard or do you have information about what's being done to disseminate the information so that the grassroots support would actually pressure members of Congress to ratify it? Thank you.
Very good question, I think. First of all, up to now in the United States, the sectors which held up this agreement was automobile sectors. And with the additional negotiations which ended on last Friday, now Ford, GM, Chrysler support this agreement, and UAW, United Auto Workers Union, is now supporting this agreement. So the last sector which held up this agreement is gone now. What happens to the general public? I think that there are tremendous misunderstandings on the role of trade here. I understand that because there was a continuous wrong, you know, indoctrination of some of the scholars and some of the people who actually were dislocated by increased competition and so on. I can say two things. One, don't mix up the Korea-U.S. trade and investment relations with others, which cause a lot of concerns in Washington, D.C. and others. On trade, combining manufactured goods and service trade, Korea is the country which registered balanced trade relationship with the United States. For the first 6 months of this year, Korea registered surplus of the amount of $400 million compared with $55 billion two-way trade, which is just 0.7% of total trade. Don't mix up Korea-U.S. relations with U.S. relations with our neighbors. For one neighbor, you may presume which country. U.S. is registering deficit of $216 billion last year. Another neighbor, $50 billion deficit with the United States. Another, you know, partner of and friend in Europe, U.S. is incurring $30 billion deficit. So I think it's very important not to mix Korean-U.S. relations with others. Second, on investment relations, from 2006, like Kia, Korean investors are investing more in the United States than U.S. investors are investing in Korea, which has been the largest traditional investors in Korea. For example, in 2008, Korean private investors, foreign direct investors, invested in the United States $6 billion, while U.S. private investors invested $1.3 billion. Last year, in the midst of the recession, Korean investors invested here $4 billion, while U.S. private investors invested $1.5 billion. So don't think that economic relations of the United States with Korea will take away jobs. Koreans are adding jobs into the United States. Then what does Korea want to take from this agreement? As I said, in the short term, we may not register huge benefit from this agreement. What we would like to realize is that Korean economy and Korean institutions will emerge as a totally new economy in the world, more transparent, more, you know, globally consistent, the economy which has the standards, international standards, consistent with global standards. No, you know, nationalism on the management of our economy. We will fully comply with the phenomena of internationalization and globalization of our economy through this legally binding comprehensive reform package between the United States and Korea. Thank you.
I think we're going to have to close now. I'd like to thank all of our panelists for a very good discussion. I'd like to thank the audience for some good questions. And I will be presenting to each of our panelists a book of photographs of American missionaries in Korea. many of them over a century ago. This book was taken from an exhibit that is being shown here in Atlanta tonight, and we hope all of you will enjoy going through this.
Based on these paragraphs, it's amazing that he could predict that Korea will emerge as this country. Thank you again very much.
Thank you very much. I have to say that the reason for the prediction since President Becker had to leave, of course, it's because the professor is from Georgia State. That's where all the brilliance came from, I'm sure. But I do want to express the appreciation of all of us to Ambassador Minton, Ambassador Hubbard, and especially to our panelists and to Ambassador Hahn. This has been an extraordinary day. We're very grateful, and I want to leave with one thing, because so many people in this room, from the table here that was mentioned, to many of you, have spent decades, many all your lives, but many decades, in building this relationship and arriving at this very day. And in many ways, I believe that, Mr. Ambassador, many people in this room, probably all, in one way or another, are also can claim to be Korean Americans. So thank you very much for the privilege of having you here in Atlanta.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Korea Society, its staff, management, or sponsors. Thank you for listening to this Korea Society podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider becoming a member. Visit www.koreasociety.org for information about memberships and to learn more about all the programs available at the Korea Society.